Well, and welcome all of you here this fourth Sunday of Lent. Also, those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and via our phone patch. I know you were probably anticipating Pastor Ron Holmgren to be here today, and unfortunately he wasn't able to make it today. He's going to be rescheduled. But we're going to open this morning with song number 108, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story, number 108.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, in Jesus' name, we come this new Lord's Day to gather together to sing your praises for that work that your Son performed on our behalf on that cross of Calvary. That he would not remain there, that he would be with you on your right hand, making intercession always for us as our advocate. That you can look on him and see his perfection, see his righteousness, and see that we are covered by that robe that he has provided for us, that we have been invited to that great wedding feast, where that garment can be pure and spotless, cleansed by the blood that he shed for us. We thank you, Father, for drawing us again as your Spirit has called us, that we can gather to hear and sing those precious songs that you have granted the songwriters the ability to pen, that we can lift our voices in unison together and sing praises as we know we will do through all eternity. We come here also this morning. We ask that you would open our hearts to receive the word that has been prepared to still our minds from the cares of this world, that we could be drawn near, always near to you, Father. Father, be with the young in our midst here, the ones that are still learning at their parents' knees, and also those that are older and look towards a life beyond their parents' homes, to even those of us in the older ages that we know each one has different physical needs, different needs of a time of life, but we all have the need, the comfort and the care that you provide through your Spirit, Father, and those that are nearing that final day that they will be here on earth, or perhaps even those we think of recent passings, we want to remember the families of the ones that have lost loved ones recently, the George family and the Farley family, also with Christine and her mother. It is a bittersweet time for those when we know that our loved ones have known you, Father, and have known the assurance of salvation. We will miss them here in time, but we will not miss them in eternity, Father. How precious that is, that that victory in Jesus has been accomplished. Be with brother as he comes here again. May that word work in his heart to become forth then to us, the listener. May that be in each and every one of our hearts, Father, when we go out into this world to accomplish the vocations that you have set for us, that the word would be in our hearts, that we would be willing to share your love to this world that is lost and dying. Now, Father, we offer the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll continue with 717 from the supplement, Here is Love. Psalm 23, found on 437 in your pew Bible. And we'll read in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well-beloved psalm. I looked through the lectionary for this year, and I believe it's chosen three times as the psalm of the day. I think for good reason. David, as a shepherd boy, described as one after God's own heart, even before he was chosen. I believe it was Samuel that described him that way when he told Saul that he would no longer be king. David certainly understood, used these words probably from his vocation, but they really resonate with us as believers, don't they? The care and the concern that our Lord has for us that goes beyond just the natural providence that he has. It's one that I think perhaps many could, if they don't know a whole lot of other scripture, they know this scripture. And that gospel message that rings through it is so powerful. Sometimes when things become so familiar to us, we overlook them, but I think this is one that has just brought a great deal of comfort to many, and I've thought back over the years, the different times that it's come up. I remember early when I first started coming up here, this was a psalm that was, I think I told at the time, but I guess I can tell it again. I was reading these and wondering if there was anything that I would want to say, and our oldest was fairly young and running around the living room and, "Dad, what are you reading?" And I didn't even have a chance to tell him what portion of the scripture I was reading from. He said, "Do you want to hear what my favorite verse is?" And he said, Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And that brought comfort to me that a youngster would know that God brings comfort to each and every one of us. He does, provided his Son and his Spirit to provide comfort for us. The Comforter has come and reassured us of that salvation through Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace that he has provided for us. We can know that goodness and mercy will surely follow us all the days of our lives. We'll continue with number 366, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Thank you.
and greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. We are truly blessed by the word that our God has left for us. The gift that he has supplied in this word is that which sustains us, brings us the comfort and the consolation that David spoke of. As we have heard, you know, the voice of the Good Shepherd, the one who has brought to us life and salvation. What a blessing to know that we have a God who cares for us, who understands the joys and the sorrows that are a part of this life, the many things that we are confronted with, and the many things that are brought to us as things that we often feel isolated. You know, we feel like, well, no one else in this world has experienced what I have experienced. And that is the furthest from the truth. We have one who has done all things for us because he came to this world. You know, the word tells us that he was tempted in all points like as we are. And, you know, so often we think of temptation simply as being the outward sins of the world that want to draw us. But I think the temptation is very often a trial when our lives are affected, when sometimes there is change in life, when there is things that happen that are unanticipated. And we know that Jesus is the one that has gone before us. And so he has provided for us that means where we can be comforted. And that is the power that the gospel message brings. It supplies unto us what cannot be supplied by any other human mechanisms, by any other human ideas, because this comes out of the very heart of God himself, this work of Christ Jesus, the very source of the one that has created us. He's created us naturally, and I think we recognize that he has created all of these things that we can see and we can touch and we can feel. But most importantly, he has created us eternally. He's created a living soul within every human being that is conceived here upon this earth. You know, sometimes we use the terminology that is born into this world. But, you know, I believe that God, that seed, that spark of life as it is enkindled within the womb, is created a living soul. And so all important for us to recognize that this is God's realm. This is his purpose, his desire, that we would be supplied, that we would be cared for. You know, Jesus, as John wrote in his gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. You know, I think the older we get, perhaps the eternal life or the everlasting life seems to become maybe a little bit more clear because it seems to be closer. But I don't know that any of us know the number of days. That isn't given for us to know. And so it's important to know that today, as God has given life, today, the scripture says, today is a day of grace. We will be glad and rejoice in it. What a blessing that is, to be able to know the rejoicing of the heart in what the Word has supplied unto us. You know, not a happiness that the world brings, an emotion that, well, you know, things are make me feel good. No, this is an eternal joy. This is something that goes to the very core of our being because it is God's work and his word that supplies. And let's pray. And I trust that you have prayed before you have entered today. I think that's incumbent upon all of us to enter into prayer before we enter into the Lord's house for that purpose, that we would be supplied by him, that we would hear a voice that is not just a human voice, but the voice of the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. The gospel for today was from the 9th chapter of John, and I have instead chosen to move ahead to the 10th chapter and read from the 10th chapter. We're going to read from the 10th chapter of John. That's found on page 789 in your pew Bible. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And we're going to begin with verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a shepherd will they not, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger's. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. Jesus encountered a lot of resistance in his ministry as he walked through Galilee, through the land of Israel, through Samaria at times. The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have given us a marvelous record. The three synoptic gospels give us a lot of picture and information about Jesus' daily life as he was walking primarily through Galilee. They seem to almost condense it to a year and a half time period. But the Gospel of John is set aside. It's unique. It's the last gospel that was written. You know, and it's interesting how if we look at the church calendar through Lent now, as we have entered into the Lenten season, it's taken consecutively different portions of chapters from this Gospel of John. And I appreciate the fact that it moves through one gospel, sometimes through epistles. It gives us a continuity there. It gives us a direction, because I think it's important to, you know, when we read a portion of the Word, you know, it's not isolated. And we've probably heard it many times before, but the Scriptures in their origin, they didn't have chapters and verses like we had them. You know, they were written in a continuous fashion. You know, but we're blessed to be able to have this breakdown. I think it helps, you know, with our minds. We certainly have more information available at our hands, and I would encourage you to read the Word and to meditate upon this Word. You know, you probably will. There's nothing more that you can give as far as joy into the heart of the pastors across the world is when brothers and sisters in Christ know this Word and we discuss this Word. As we're on an equal plane. There is no one greater than the other. It is God's Word that supplies unto us what? What does Paul say in Ephesians? By grace are ye saved through faith. There's one plane of grace, one level of grace. And it's this gift that God has given to us to be able to share and to meditate upon this Word. You know, to be able to discuss these matters which God himself has caused to be written for us. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable for us. It brings us direction, instruction, correction. Those things that are necessary as we walk in this life. But most of all, it brings us what that 23rd Psalm brings, right? This comfort and this consolation. There's no question as to why that psalm has been so popular, especially at a time of the loss of loved ones, because it shows the very heart of our God. It shows the heart of David as he received this Word. You know, David didn't write this in a vacuum, but he wrote this Word because he had experienced this Word supplying his heart and his life. As difficult a life as David has. Sometimes we think of the shepherd and we think of him as a little boy, but as he grew older, he was a man of war. He had a difficult life. He had his own kinsmen that were against him, that attempted to kill him. He fought many battles, but he had come to experience and to know, in spite of the sin that he had committed, that this one who took care of him, this good shepherd, you know, and I believe by the eyes of faith, just as the other prophets looked, What did they look to? Did they see the future as, you know, perhaps we would like to see the future in all the black and white and the and perhaps in living color as to what's going on? No, they believed the promise of God. They trusted in what God had said, just like Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's the faith that God brings to us, to trust his promises, to trust his word, to trust the supply of what this word has accomplished here in time. Because it is this word that will stand in effect throughout all eternity. It is this word that is sure, that will never pass away. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. This is God's direction to us. And so Jesus, as he encountered these various obstacles, and, you know, we can go back a number of chapters, and, you know, we can see the animosity that was raised towards him. This gospel, the ninth chapter that was to be today's gospel, you know, the Pharisees were after Jesus because he had healed a blind man on the Sabbath day. You know, and some were saying, well, there's no way he could be from God because he disobeyed the Sabbath. And others said, well, how could he do these wondrous things if he isn't from God? It created a turmoil, didn't it? And so often the word will do that initially. It stirs up our hearts to bring us and draw us closer to what God truly has provided for us. These scribes and these Pharisees that were against Jesus attempted to stir up the people. But so many times they were able to listen and to hear what Jesus himself had to say. And that is the important part, right? To hear the voice of Jesus. To hear the voice of the one who has provided for us. And as they went against Jesus, they desired, you know, they desired to know that they were the keepers of the truth. But what did Jesus tell them? In that ninth chapter, he said, he told those Jews that believed on him, he said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The freedom that we have in Christ Jesus is that which, you know, I believe John is beginning to describe here as we go into this 10th chapter, because this gift that God brings to us through the message of the sheep and the sheepfold is something that goes to our very core, doesn't it? Because I think initially when we begin to think of ourselves as sheep, that's not a very good thought, right? I think if our minds were to grasp hold, we'd want to be a lion or a bear or something. Wouldn't that be a better picture of who we are in this world, the battles we have to fight? But sheep don't have a very strong defense. They have the ability to flee, and sometimes not all that fast. You know, sheep, when they are rolled over onto their side, or if they get into a hollow on their back, they have no means of getting out because of the fur that they have, the wool that is a part of them. They are dependent upon the shepherd. They can't go out onto their own and wander in the wilderness, because immediately the predators take care of that. But they are dependent upon the sheep. And Jesus tells us, he says, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Isn't it interesting that he begins by pointing out that anything that had come before him, was he talking about the prophets? No. He was talking about those leaders that attempted to draw unto themselves the power that our humanity seems to crave. You know, you've probably heard the terminology that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's a, you know, it's a phrase that has been bandied about throughout time here. But the gift that God brings to us is that we have a power from a different source. We have one who has gone before us, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. In other words, he's gone through that first, hasn't he, into that sheepfold. He's looked into the sheepfold to see, is there any evil? Is there any predator? Is there something that will hurt my sheep before he allows his sheep to go in? The gift that we have is that we can be secure when we enter into that sheepfold. He says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them in. once again, that voice, which is the voice of Jesus. You know, we have a song that is so beautiful. It says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one. Lay it down, thy head upon my breast. This gift that he brings to us as he draws us, doesn't he? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you shall find rest unto your souls. The rest that the sheep have is when they're in the sheepfold, they don't have to worry about the predators that are coming to take their lives. You know, the sheepfold has been built up. You know, in the Middle Eastern time, at the time of Jesus, they were big, high stone walls that kept the predators out. There was one entrance that came in. That was guarded by the porter. The good shepherd was taking care of his sheep. And we know that we've heard so often about who the porter is. You know, it's the same porter that operates today, isn't it? Same one who brings to us, who ushers that word into our hearts. No, he's not a physical porter like we see at some of the fancy residential and office buildings of this world. One who opens the door for us. Yeah, that's a picture of it. But they aren't a physical porter. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? To take this word and to cause this word to enkindle life within our hearts, within our souls. You know, read the 14th, 15th, 16th chapter of John, his gospel. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that he speaks of there that will lead us and will guide us unto all truth. We'll take his words and we'll show them unto us. The revelation of Jesus Christ into our hearts is what brings that hope of the gospel to life. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. We've heard and we continue to hear many voices in this world, don't we? And I think they're the same voices that Jesus was talking about here, the thieves and the robbers that come up another way, as he talks about in that first chapter. But he also then speaks again about that in the first verse and then the 10th verse. He speaks of those that draw power on, isn't that what unto themselves. Isn't that what a thief and a robber does? It's about me, right? I need something. You owe me something. It's about controlling something that isn't theirs. What does Jesus control? He brings that voice into our hearts that speaks of what? He says, I have provided unto you something that you cannot provide for yourself. You come to know that your sin debt has been paid. He says, that's why I went to the cross, to provide for you a covering for those sins. That robe of righteousness that was mentioned already this morning, that brings that spotlessness to us who are sinners, brings us to a place where we can rest in what God has provided for us, not trust in something else that we have heard. Why? Because he says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. How important for us to be bound into this word, dear brother and sister. How important for us to meditate on this word, to read this word, to know these scriptures. Because we're not going to know the voice of a stranger if we don't know the word of God. One of the examples that I have appreciated is those that have dealt with the false currencies that often come into the marketplace. You know, they have many that have to deal, the bank tellers have to deal with these currencies and examine, is this a counterfeit or is it real? And what do they teach them? All of the counterfeits that there are and all of them that are going to come? Because it's constant, isn't it? No, they teach them the real thing. This is what a real bill looks like. And so it is with this word of God. It teaches us what the value of this gospel message is to us. This is the realness of the gospel, because it has assured us. It has brought to us that comfort and consolation. Like the apostle Paul makes known, he says, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. The thieves and the robbers, they want to pile on this work that they are going to do themselves, right? To accumulate unto themselves. but God brings to us what Christ has done for us. He has given his life for us, even as that last verse that we read, that he has given his life for the sheep. This is the power that Christ brings into our lives, to know what is real and what is true, what is authentic, to know that God himself has provided for us, and that his love is so great that he will never let us go. This parable spake Jesus to them, but they understood not the things that he spake unto them. And then said Jesus unto them again, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In other words, there is no other avenue whereby we can approach unto God other than through Christ. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, has a marvelous expression when he speaks of that great work of Christ Jesus, that work that it worked within his heart as he was drawn unto this word, as he came to know that which God had accomplished for him when he changed from Saul unto Paul. When he writes in this way in the second letter that he wrote, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Therefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, that committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the work of the Good Shepherd, to draw and to supply unto us. He says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You know, the work in the Old Testament, you know, because this is really, he's talking about the Old Testament yet, isn't he? Because this New Testament is just being ushered in. You know, he had just begun his work, his baptism had taken place. But none of the New Testament had been written. He's talking about these prophets, you know, the prophet Isaiah, you know, when he began to speak of that wondrous gift that God supplied through him, through the gift of faith, to be able to see, and David in his time, to be able to approach unto God. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquity is covered. The transgressions that we have, that David experienced, that we experience, they are covered by this work of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he shed his lifeblood for us. The gift that we receive is that we can know that this voice of Jesus, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, the gift that God brings is that gift of salvation, to know that we are redeemed, to hold fast unto that promise of God, that he will carry us through time and onto eternity. I think sometimes we struggle with that, don't we? I know I do. You know, what does the future lie? How close is that future till I come to meet the one who has loved me? Am I going to make it? Well, the assurance that we have is that Christ is able to secure our hearts. He's able to provide for us what we cannot do for ourselves. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, we will be able to go as God leads us. The shepherd will lead us, you know, as surely into the fold as he will out into the pastures. He will provide those places that David spoke about. The fact that David could have that confidence to approach unto God. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What a blessing to have to know we have a God who is so close to us that he's able to provide for us that place of resting. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Is there a more abundant life than knowing Jesus Christ and his work of salvation for us? And knowing that he has called us by this gospel, that he has drawn us to a place of rejoicing, of experiencing the goodness of God, of knowing that he has supplied for us the abilities to go out to share this message of the gospel. You know, Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, you know, he speaks of that marvelous work that God has called us to do. In the fourth chapter, he writes about the fact that he says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called by one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." This is the work that Christ brings to us. To be able to share this message, to know that, as Paul says here, then further on, he says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He says, "Therefore, be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie to wait and to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." In other words, God supplies this ability to us. It's not in our ability to go forth. It is in his power to bring the power of life into us, to be able to share this message of the gospel. The opposite of what these thieves and robbers have come to do, to steal and to kill, as Jesus said. And then he assures us, doesn't he? He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." How important for us to know this good shepherd who has given his life for us. Because he gave his life upon that cross of Calvary. He gave his life really when he was born into this world. Here was true God becoming true man. A humiliation in a sense that, you know, we find it difficult to understand. That which was perfect coming into an imperfect world. The scriptures tell us that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He walked upon this earth. Why? Why was he without sin? Why was he able to walk through this time period that he lived here? It was for you and for me, wasn't it? So that we could lay hold of that which God himself is. So that we could trust in what God's purpose and intent to bring into our hearts, that cleansing power of the gospel. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. It is that work that he does within our hearts that causes our hearts to rejoice, because he has brought into our lives that abundance of life. A life that transcends the temporal things of this life, but causes our hearts to rejoice, knowing that one day we will truly be singing the eternal song of salvation. A song that, you know, that we'll sing with unfettered tongues. I admire the individuals that God has given these beautiful voices to. I love music, but it doesn't resonate out of my tongue like I wish it would. But you know, the gift that we have is that we have ears to hear, don't we? We can hear those words that are words of comfort and consolation, because they speak of this word. They take this word and they lift it up to us. They cause it to resonate within a part of us that, you know, we may not understand, you know, but the gift that God has given to not only those that write these songs, but to put the music to them, you know, it cements it in us, doesn't it? It causes us to remember them. How many times does a song come back to you? You know, it's a blessing when the word comes back to us, but those songs carry that word with them. They point us back to what God himself has provided for us, the one who is able to say, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He has died for you, dear brother and sister. He has risen again, victorious over death, over hell, and over the devil in your behalf, that today you can know that life more abundantly. You can rejoice in that goodness that he has supplied in the midst of the deepest trials and sorrows that we have. He can lift us up and set our feet upon that rock which is Christ Jesus. And to him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with song number 223, Jesus, Tender Shepherd, Hear Me, number 223. Close with prayer. I just want to bring a reminder of a few names to remember in prayer. There are so many that I know come to your heart and to mine, and you know, we list them sometimes and we miss people, but you know, I think it's a blessing when we can remember one another in prayer. That is one of the powers that God has given to us that doesn't take any effort, right? We don't have to go anyplace to have prayer. Wherever we are, the Lord is able to enjoin with us in prayer. We remember the Farley family, as Hans mentioned, and our brother Dave up at Fields. We had a nice Bible study yesterday morning with Dave and some of the guys, and we really appreciate all of you that have come to attend. Also, Christine, your mom was mentioned by Hans, and Paul Hill, still dealing with health concerns, the family of Sonia George, the Hillman family, both lost loved ones. And then Keith and Monica's nephew, Landon, and we want to remember Phil, remember Beth and your family in our prayers, and the passing of Jeff, and also Ronan Questad, and our sister Barbara Holmgren. John said this morning, as I greeted him, he said that Barbara is doing better. So we love to hear that, and we ask that you bring our greetings to her. And then the Valavaras, with Oliver and his dealing with cancer, struggles for a young man, and yet, you know, we ask that God would continue to bring not only healing but comfort to them. So let's turn to the Lord in closing prayer. Gracious Father, we give thanks for a word that's eternal, that continues to supply as it has throughout all ages. And we pray, for Father, that we could hear that voice of Jesus, that voice would resonate within our hearts, that voice that speaks to us of peace, that has brought to us a righteousness, an alien righteousness that we do not understand with our natural minds, but through the eyes of faith. We can look to what Jesus has done for us there on that cross of Calvary, and through his resurrection and ascension, as he sits next to you, as he stands next to you, as the scriptures have described both ways, Father, we thank you, Father, for that great gift of your love towards us. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
There'll be a meal immediately following the service downstairs. All are invited to join. This Wednesday, 7 p.m., will be a Lenten service. Friday, 10 a.m., a women's Bible study. And next Sunday will be Bible study at 10:15 and morning worship at 11. We're going to close with 705 from the supplement, during which we'll have an offering. And then immediately following that, if we could stand and sing the doxology, 666.